You're connected to WebTalk at WebTalkRadio.com for the week of February 5th, 2005. And my name is Rob Greenlee. Thank you for joining us from all over the planet. And we keep you plugged into the latest net trends and some very cool new websites, especially this week. We have a cool website.
Well, you know, we're not electrocuting anybody right here. I just want you to know that when we're plugging you in. This is like a wireless thing, so it's pretty harmless.
That's right.
I'm Dana. We're going to take you down sort of what happened this week in the news. Topics on the show we're going to cover.
We're going to give some homage to the old faithful Microsoft Notepad on the show.
And do you know 36% of online shoppers use in-store pickup?
And Skype adds voicemail.
David in Seattle emailed us. We're going to talk about his email. The only person on the planet not using iPod.
Web search continues to drive significant opportunity online with the recent renewed energy on the part of Microsoft and the MSN Search, Google, and Yahoo Search. And they're all focusing on digital media search. And we're starting to see, actually, a new entry emerging into the crowded web and internet search space. And it's Blinkx.com and also Blinkx.tv, and that's Blinkx.tv. Blinkx is doing some really groundbreaking work in the area of digital audio and video search, far beyond what anybody else is doing, and by making video search engine that is actually indexing the full content stream. And we're going to be later joined by Saranga Chandrasilika, who's the co-founder and CTO of Blinkx, and he's going to explain to us the many features and cool search functions he's built.
We have technology which literally watches video and listens to radio, and automatically, using voice recognition, creates a transcript. Actually be listening to this show, for example, picking up the words that I'm saying and that you guys are saying, and it would write those down so that in the future, if someone wanted to do a search for, you know, Blinkx talks to the Web Talk guys, then it would actually, you know, jump straight to this clip and say, here's the actual clip of that. The great thing about doing that is that it means we can search all that video that's out there on the web that today doesn't have very good descriptions, today hasn't been transcribed or closed captioned in any way. And also, when you do a search, it doesn't just find the sort of site or the large clip, but it'll actually jump to the point in that particular video file that's relevant to what you've searched for.
Rob, there's an application that Microsoft puts out that you would not necessarily think was the greatest application used daily, maybe more than Outlook.
It's Microsoft Notepad, and I think when most people think about it, they probably think, Notepad, that's a pretty significant application that I might use every day, especially if you're a web developer or somebody that works with the web a lot. Maybe you like to even take notes with Notepad because it is Notepad, you know.
Not everybody understands or uses Notepad. I mean, certainly.
Well, I think a lot more people do than we probably think do.
So what? Tell everybody who may not understand what this gem of a little application
is. Well, it's been around since the beginning of the Windows operating system. It's always been included. I think it was first included back in Windows 95. And it was just a basic, like a word processor that was built by Microsoft. And I think that the reason they built it was just to have something simple and basic that they could offer that was part of the operating system. Mm-hmm. And what's happened, I think, over the years is that it's become almost really a staple in how people use the internet and the web, especially people that maybe develop and produce content.
Well, I think as an example, if anybody ever snuck behind the view source part of a web page, mm-hmm. you just click on view source, it opens up in Notepad. And the nice thing about that, most people actually, or a lot of geeks will actually code in Notepad, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have any kind of formatting. There's no bold or italic or underline or anything weird, and it just has text. And that's so simple and easy. I stick my passwords in a Notepad file.
Yeah.
I run all my formatted text through Notepad to clean it up and then paste it in mm-hmm. where I want.
Yeah, it's almost like a cleaning up filter is what it is. I mean, that's exactly what we use it for all of our websites. It's really an application. I know we're really jumping on this bandwagon a lot here, but I would say that it's as significant an application as the Internet Browser or the MSN Outlook application.
Pretty amazing.
As far as how often I use it compared to those other applications, I would put it on the same scale. So,
well, when you look at my Quick Launch Bar and stuff, it's IE, email, and Notepad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just use that all the time, those three.
I basically wrote an article about this whole topic, and it's available at our website, so you can go check out if you want to read kind of the ramblings that I have about this, beyond what even the ramblings that we've had today on the show. But I'm a little surprised that there hasn't been kind of an application that has popped up that's kind of replaced it. Microsoft really hasn't upgraded it. They've come out with different versions of it. I think they're up through like 5.1 or whatever as far as versions of Notepad, but they haven't added any features to it. So I think the only reason that they've upgraded it, even at that basic level, is to keep it functioning within the operating system as the operating system has evolved. Mm. So read the article on our website at webtalkradio.com, and it's kind of a fun journey, and I'm sure a lot of people will have an affinity to it.
Mm. Hey, we want to cover some stats we just discovered about online shopping, but I shopped online last night. I bought the most expensive perfume I've ever bought before.
Really?
Amazon.
Now, how much was that?
Within the Sephora store. I haven't told you.
You haven't told me how much you spent.
I used a gift certificate, but...
Well, an Amazon gift certificate. All right.
Let's say between the perfume and the lotion, $100.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
All right.
So,
okay.
But
it's all right.
Did you know, this is an interesting statistic, and I would never do this, I don't think, but supposedly a great number of people, 36%, will shop online. Mm-hmm. And then they'll go to the store, the retail store that is affiliated with the online shop, to pick it up.
Yeah. I think this is a natural extension of the online shopping experience. I think what it is, it's the ultimate convenience, really, I think. I mean, you can go online, find it, actually buy it, and then go drive down and pick it up. And you know it's at the store. It isn't like you're driving down the store hoping that it's there, you know, which we've done before, and they're out of stock.
You know, that's going to work for big electronic items. But you know what they say, that's more convenient for shoppers to go and pick it up. No, it's more convenient to have the guy in the cute brown shorts bring it to my door.
You want to have it delivered at the same time that you ordered it online?
No,
you want to have some guy at the store run over to your house and drop it on your doorstep?
I don't need immediate gratification.
Okay.
Another, it's kind of interesting, the study also looked at we know there's online, and then there's just bricks and mortar places, and then there's the hybrid. And it's the hybrid stores that are starting to see some kind of leverage or some kind of advantage they can offer their shoppers. And that's what? Brand recognition. So you've got names like The Gap and Sears and Penny's and stuff. The ability that we just talked about to fulfill mm-hmm. products locally. And then they've got the huge buying power, mm-hmm. like a Walmart or something, and a Walmart.com. They can offer better prices than a lot of just online-only retailers, maybe with the exception of Amazon.
Well, yeah, and that's a fascinating piece here, because Amazon just this past week basically announced a new shipping policy that they were new
Prime,
for
Prime, right?
Prime for $79, you can have all you can eat shipping for. I don't know if there's a time limit or not. I didn't see any kind of time limit there, but for $79, you can have second day shipping for eternity.
Wow.
And I think that's one way Amazon can compete against this same store order pickup type of experience. But the major brands do have a lot of power online, and I think when they combine the physical world presence, and we've been talking about this on the show for I don't know how many years, Dana.
Hey, I just want to say we're. Our 6th-year anniversary is coming up, February 2nd.
Yeah, it's in February here. It's probably this show yeah. is our 6th year of doing this show every week, or almost every week.
We have a few minutes. Let's quickly talk about Skype. Skype is the sort of internet phone system.
Yeah, it's basically a free phone call system that runs on your PC. You can make phone calls. And you can actually, they recently rolled out a plan that you could actually make phone calls from your PC to a landline, a regular telephone, for like a fee. It's like 10 cents a minute or something like that. It's really, really inexpensive. Now, what they've done is that they've rolled out a voicemail service to compete against some of the other major voice over IP services like Vonage and AT&T CallVantage and some of the ones that are out there, because Skype really hasn't had all of the features to really compete against those guys.
Well, they haven't had a lot of income because it's a free
application. Well, yeah, they've been giving it away, but I think a lot of people are thinking that there's a bigger opportunity for Skype in the future because they have been free, which means that they've got a bigger installed base than all these other companies as well. So they have
That's
a lot of power.
Point.
There's no question. So
hey, didn't the guy who invented Skype invent, is it Kaza?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that right? And isn't he sort of like in exile?
He can't come into this country or else he'd get arrested. I think his name is Nicholas Zennstrom.
Interesting.
And I think he lives down in Australia.
Oh, is it? That's mm-hmm. where he's exiled. Yes. Or staying.
Well, he's staying out of the United States because of CASA.
Got an email from David in Seattle. Why don't you quickly just read it, what he had to say?
Well, he goes, "Hey, guys, I really enjoy listening to your show." And he has a question for us. Do you think that Apple will ever bundle an FM radio inside of the iPod? And and he wound up buying a different brand of media player. He bought the RCA Lyra. Yeah. It had the integrated FM tuner in the actual device. And I can totally appreciate your desire to have a FM radio inside of your media player.
Yeah. But 5,000 songs, you still want different ones?
Well, you know,
well,
it's
talk programming.
You can get other types of content. You can get real-time traffic, weather, sports, all that kind of stuff that you can't really get off of your regular iPod. So David's question was really about whether or not I think that they're going to integrate a radio tuner inside the iPod. And I would say, yeah, I think they are. I think that Apple's going to have to innovate like that and add features to it to keep its value compared to other devices out there, because there are devices like the one he purchased that can compete against the iPod.
Even though the iPod Shuffle now, the $99 solution, is out, David, you're not the only one that doesn't have an iPod. I like my
We don't have an iPod. No, we don't. I just use a pocket PC to consume all my digital media.
If you're going to spend $200-$300 on something, why not have one that has a whole, like, an operating system with it, too?
Well, yeah, you can load all sorts of applications. I mean, I can watch videos. I can get audio. I can do my Word work. I can type stuff in there. I can do all sorts of stuff.
And have 5,000 songs with your little card.
That's right. Well, I got a 1 gig card I got for $50. It's a good deal.
Way to go, man. Web Talk every week is brought to you by InfoCreek.com. They're good friends of the show. You can go check out InfoCreek.com if you're interested in having a website designed. They do great work. They were very friendly to us to help us design our site.
And we're also supported a little bit by Vonage out there, too. They a recent addition to the advertising lineup for Web Talk Radio. And we talked about the whole Skype and voiceover IP this week. But go check out Vonage at Vonage.com.
Stay with us. In just a second, we'll be talking about Blinks TV, Blinks.com, and video searching on the internet with some really innovative ways to do it. We're talking to the co-founder and CTO of Blinks.com in a moment.
This is Web Talk Radio.
Gather round, webheads. Listen and learn.
You're back with Web Talk Radio, webtalkradio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is here, too.
Well, there's another wave coming in on the web search market, and it's shaping up to be an audio and video search. Boy, we've been listening the last 2-3 weeks. You've been hearing major announcements of beta testing programs for digital media search from the big guys. That's Google and Yahoo and MSN Video Services. The area of digital media search is really a huge growing area because of the advancements of IPTV solutions over the next few years. The battle lines are being drawn right now because it's a high-stakes game, and everybody wants to see multimedia on the web. We're starting to see a new entry emerge from this kind of crowded field with the big guys, and that is Blinks.com, B-L-I-N-K-X.com, also Blinks.tv. Blinks is kind of really innovating the area because they've done something amazing with their functions of digital audio and video search that no one else is really doing, where it actually indexes the content stream.
Yes, we are joined on the line right now by Saranga Chandrasilika, who's the co-founder and CTO of Blinks, to explain all the many features and some of the cool functions that he's built. Saranga, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Kind of run through for us what the difference is between Blinks.com and Blinks.tv and kind of what you guys are doing and how long have you guys been up and running?
Sure. So Blinks.com, that's B-L-I-N-K-X.com, is our main website. Blinks.tv, spelled the same way but with TV on the end, was actually a newer site that we launched in December. Essentially, Blinks, the company, is all about looking at a search and how you search today and what kind of content you get access to and how you get access to that content and turning it on its head in various different ways. So looking at new ways to access content, looking at new types of content that you should be able to search through and so on. So Blinks.com is actually the home of our toolbar download, which does a whole bunch of things, including in particular conceptual linking, which is basically about bringing you content based on what you're doing right now on your computer without you having to actually type in searches yourself. But then Blinks.tv, the newest thing we're doing, is really about searching a whole new kind of content. It's about searching TV, video, and radio content on the web.
Yeah, it's really fascinating what you're doing. And what one of the big things that really jumped out at me, and I know this a little bit from a higher level view, is when you go to your front page, I see you have a larger box that you can type, you can type text into.
Sure.
And it looks like you guys are actually requesting that people type in at least three words, where Google and some of the other search engines, they actually are most effective if you probably use less or three words or less. So I'm just kind of curious about why that's the case with your site.
Sure. No, it's a great question. It's all about context. So the difficulty with keyword search is that, if you give a computer just one or two words, then however hard it tries and however clever it is, and obviously the computers that they have at Google and Yahoo and so on are very clever, you've only given it a couple of words to go on. So the best it can do is tell you, what pages out there have those words on it. And sure, they can be smart about which ones they bring to the top and which ones they leave for the bottom, but that's really all it can ever do. With Blinks, what we have is a very new technology, one that's based on pattern matching, that actually understands concepts. So not just the words themselves, but the ideas behind those words. So a bit like you or I reading an article, we don't fixate or focus on particular words. We look at those words in the context of everything we know about the world and what the article is about, what it means to us, what we're interested in, and so on. And Blinks is basically about trying to apply the same kind of intelligence that we use when we do that as humans. Sure. To the way computers look at information. So in that way, we actually would prefer you, if possible, to give us more words. Now, of course, we work fine if you just give us a few words. You can give us one or two words. That's absolutely fine. But if you can give us more information, then we can get you a better hit.
So what you're saying is it's more natural language search? Is that what you're pursuing here? And it looks like, would you say that there's a limit to how many words or how long a particular phrase might be before the algorithm kind of struggles a little bit?
Yeah, sure. To be honest, the more you give it, the better it gets. So you can give it a whole document, a whole page of text, and it will actually do extremely well. Actually, we've used that capability of the technology to build the toolbar, the linking toolbar that I mentioned earlier briefly. And the way that works is that if you install that version of Blinks on your computer, then what it does is it actually sits there as a little toolbar, pretty small, in the corner of every application you use. So whether you're reading email, whether you're writing a Word document, whether you're reading a story on the web, you'll see the little toolbar there kind of lighting up and kind of going dim. And what happens is when you open any new file or look at a new email or read a new web page, Blinks automatically reads all the text on that screen. So it does a scrape of all the text that you can see and uses all of that as a very, very large search query, effectively, to go and find other information that's related. And it'll find stuff both from the web, so, maybe the latest news story that's relevant to whatever you're reading, but also stuff from your own computer, so maybe emails from friends that are talking about the same topic.
Yeah, and that's a great segue into your download application that you guys have that's available on your website, too. And it looks like when I went in and downloaded it, it looks like it's like a desktop search type of application as well as a web search tool. Why don't you kind of explain kind of what the vision is for that tool that you can get off of Blinks?
Sure. You're absolutely right. The download is basically what we call integrated search. So you can install it on your machine, and that it'll work on both PCs and Apple Mac computers as well. Uh-huh. We released a Mac version in January.
Wow, that's great.
Fairly recently. So basically what happens is it reads in the background all of your content on your own computer. So it, checks out your email. It looks at documents you might have saved, MP3s, movie files, graphic files, really any kind of content you've saved on your machine. But then it also has a link onto the web as well. So when you do a search, say you type something in, let's say you search for Napa Valley, California, then it's going to fire off a search both on the web and get you back things about, hotels or wineries in Napa Valley, but it'll also do it on the local system too. So if you had an email from a friend a year ago who'd gone to Napa Valley and taken some photos, you'll see a link to her email. And similarly, it'll link to maybe some photographs that you've saved of Napa Valley on your hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about bringing all the information into one place. In fact, version 2 of our toolbar, which we launched in November, took that a step further and also added a link into peer-to-peer networks too.
Yeah.
So from that same search box, you can search not only local stuff, but also web stuff and even things that are on peer-to-peer networks. So one day when peer-to-peer networks become more popular as a sharing technology so that, you know, you start using them to share, for example, photos and files with friends and family, then you'll be able to check out not just photos that you have of Napa Valley, but maybe those that your friends have too.
So are you supporting some of the standard peer-to-peer platforms out there like BitTorrent in this application, or are you establishing your own kind of proprietary peer-to-peer network?
No, we're supporting existing ones. So,
oh, really? Okay.
You know, those guys are already doing a great job of building that kind of technology, so we have no reason to reinvent that. Already we support Grokster, and we support eDonkey, and we're actually working on things like BitTorrent right now.
Oh, terrific. So as long as you download this plugin, you're going to have the ability to download a BitTorrent file. And
yeah.
Would that actually come into your application? Is that what would happen, or would it just drop it on your hard drive somewhere?
Yeah, what we are really is a referral service rather than a peer-to-peer client itself.
Okay.
So we basically fire a search over that network, and then when you choose to download it, it's basically you're connecting to that network and doing a download,
okay,
and saving it on your own file, on your own system. Yeah.
Well, that's good. So it's done an automatic download of any kind. I mean, you're still having the choice. You just get results.
Of course,
from,
yeah.
So you still have to download the BitTorrent client separately from your application?
No, you don't.
You don't.
We have all the sort of handshaking that's necessary to do the download yourself. But the key differences are that we don't have all the features of some of the more kind of advanced BitTorrent clients.
Sure.
And also the main area that we don't have features is we can't be used as an upload client. So if you want to share your own files, you can't do that from Blinks. You have to do that separately from, for example, a BitTorrent client.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's probably a terrific feature to kind of keep you guys out of hot water, I'm sure, as far as file sharing standpoints. One other thing that I noticed that was fascinating about what you're doing is the whole desktop search. That's where you can search for files that are on your own hard drive. What they appear to do is they display within your client application, and then any web searches pop up a browser. Is what I take it that was done intentionally to try and keep a clear delineation from what appears on the web versus what appears on your client machine?
Yeah, it really was. The very first version of our software actually had it all in one in the client application itself.
Oh, okay.
And interestingly, what we found was that a lot of the feedback was that people wanted to keep those two things separately.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
it's great to have the same box from which you can start off both searches, but they'd still like to keep them separate. So because of that, we've kind of heeded to popular demand there and made that separate. Of course, you can, if you're doing a keyword-based search and you want to do it on the web, then you don't have to use just the Blinks website search engine, but you can also use other popular search engines too. You just need to go there and configure it.
Okay, yeah, because I know that a lot of the other desktop search applications are trying to do blended views in the browser, and I know it had a lot of people concerned about privacy. So it's like, you know, is that information getting passed to Google or, you know, the Microsoft folks or whatever. And if you keep them separate, I guess you don't have those issues, I would imagine.
Exactly. Like I said, it's all been driven by user demand.
Yeah.
So people have just said to us, you know, hey, I know what's on my machine. I know what's out there. I like the ability to search for both in the same place, but, you know, let's not mix the two up. The other thing is it doesn't always make sense. I mean, you know, it makes sense to have all your photos of Napa Valley appear in one box together. It doesn't make sense to mix those up with websites of wineries. You know, they're kind of different things. So actually, from a sorting point of view, it makes more sense anyway.
We're in the middle of a conversation with the CTO of Blinks.com, Saranga Chandrasilaka. We'll have more with him in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Please, children, scooch closer. Don't make me tell you again about the scooching.
Welcome back to Web Talk Radio, webtalkradio.com. I'm Rob Greenlee, and Danny Greenlee's here too.
Joining us on the phone still is the CTO and co-founder of Blinks.com, Saranga Chandrasilaka, giving us more information about Blinks.com. You may have already touched on this, but are you searching, or is this allowed to search like TV network sites or cable content providers or radio networks, places like that?
Yeah, so Blinks TV is more the tool that we have in that area. Although the toolbar that I mentioned earlier does actually link you to TV content if it's available.
Oh, gotcha.
But Blinks.tv is the easiest way to see what we can do and play with what we're sort of offering in that area. And to use Blinks.tv, you just go to the website, blinkx.tv, and type in, you know, 1, 3, 5, however many words you want to. And what we do is we actually are watching, we have technology which literally watches video and listens to radio, and automatically, using voice recognition, creates a transcript of what it is that people are saying. So we could actually be listening to this show, for example, picking up the words that I'm saying and that you guys are saying, and it would write those down so that in the future, if someone were to do a search for, you know, Blinks talks to the Web Talk guys, then it would actually, you know, jump straight to this clip and say, here's the actual clip of that. The great thing about doing that is that it means we can search all that video that's out there on the web that today doesn't have very good descriptions, today hasn't been transcribed or closed captioned in any way. And also, when you do a search, it doesn't just find the sort of site or the large clip, but it'll actually jump to the point in that particular video file that's relevant to what you've searched for.
Oh, interesting.
You know, you mentioned the closed caption. I did a Yahoo video search, and it pulls from those closed captions. And, of course, it's ridiculous because it doesn't look like it's in English, actually, because it's so badly written, you know. But that's fascinating because a lot of content providers don't put metadata. They didn't, you know, for years.
Yeah.
And you don't need that.
Exactly. It's actually a very interesting kind of area because, obviously, a lot of people are interested in using video, you know, using the internet to get access to the video they want to watch. And similarly, a lot of people who own the video content, the movie studios and television studios, would love to use the internet as a new distribution network for their content. So you kind of have both the right intent from both sides. But the thing that's always been missing is the technology. In the old days, the problem was much more straightforward. It was the fact that most of us didn't have broadband and most of us had very small hard drives. Those things have now really been fixed for many people. So the next big issue is, how do you actually tie up the user to the right piece of content? Because there's a lot of stuff out there, you know. I mean, how do you know which bit you actually want? I mean, think of all the episodes of The Cosby Show. You know, if you want to watch a particular one, then how do you specify that to the computer? Search is the obvious solution, but the problem with search is that it works on text.
Yeah.
So you've got to figure out how to find some text to search on. As you just said, Dana, you know, what people have done so far is people have tried to use metadata. But the problem with that is that somebody's got to sit there and create that metadata, and nobody's been doing that for years. So it's very difficult to make that searchable.
That is true.
At Blinks, we're, you know, taking an attack at this in a very, very different way. We're actually listening to and understanding the video itself.
So are you working very closely with each of the major networks that are actually your content providers in this TV search to be able to capture their streams? I mean, do you have licenses with those guys to be able to do that?
We have different agreements with different people.
Okay.
So if you go to the site and do a search, you'll notice a long list of
the
people that we're working with. And so, you know, we have all kinds of different agreements. Some people, it's just a matter of getting their already freely accessible web content. In the case of some people, we're actually getting archive feeds and so on. So, you know, it's certainly early days. We only released the service in the middle of December.
Yeah.
But as time goes by, I'm pretty confident you'll see more and more interesting content appear there.
Yeah, so are you thinking about expanding this into basically all video online, or do you see it primarily being kind of a network or cable major broadcaster type of service?
I think that it'll be both. So, you know, the harder bit to sort of secure at this stage is definitely the major broadcasters and cable and so on. So we're putting a lot of time and effort into that. But one thing you'll notice if you go to the site is that alongside all the channels and broadcasters that you know and love, there are a couple of boxes, things like web radio and web TV and web video. And that actually is just purely, you know, raw video and radio footage from the web itself. So we have crawlers out there indexing the World Wide Web of video and audio, just in the same way that Google or Yahoo have crawlers that crawl text content.
Wow, that's terrific. So you guys are actually doing all that processing of all those media files on your own servers?
Yes, exactly.
Wow, that's a huge undertaking, I would think, for you guys to do that.
Well, that's the breakthrough, I guess. I mean, the thing that we have that is unique is the fact that we have very kind of clever set of algorithms which help us do voice recognition very, very efficiently.
Oh, okay.
And we can do it so that basically a single machine of ours, a single server of ours, can do 4 or 5 clips at once, often faster than real time. So actually, it's all pretty efficient. And once you've done that one-step process, then you can make it searchable, and you know, as many millions of people as want to can find that piece of content.
Now, are you guys doing any kind of a link up with like maybe downloading of this content? Is there any plan for that, or is it all going to be streaming?
No, that's a great question. Today it's all streaming, but actually one of the most interesting conversations we've started to have with various people is, as you probably know, there are a number of sites out there now which offer rental movies and TV programs, and quite a few that are moving towards actually selling you, say, episodes of your favorite sitcom
or
a sports event or whatever, all online. So it'll all be download-based. Particularly with all the digital rights management software that now comes built into RealPlayer and Windows Media, it's actually pretty easy for those folks to feel confident about offering that kind of content. So because of that, they're all very interested, in what we're doing. If you think about, if I go back to my Cosby Show example, if you remember a particular line that, you know, that Bill Cosby says in one of the shows, and obviously you can't remember what season it was in or what show it was in, but if you could just search for that line and then actually see that clip with that 20 seconds of that particular joke, which would confirm to you that, yes, that was the episode you really wanted to see, it would then, you know, say, well, if you want to see the rest of the episode, maybe download it in full quality, then please click here and, you know, download this episode to your computer right now. So there's a lot of interesting possibilities there that look more at buying TV and video content on a demand basis, depending on whether you know what you're trying to do. And again, the difficulty of doing that today is having some kind of search mechanism to find the content you really care about.
So is your transcription of the content itself, are you guys linking that with jump points within the actual stream itself? Is that what the bigger vision is?
Yeah, it does exactly that.
Okay.
It basically what happens when we create the transcript, we write it down in parallel to the video itself.
Okay.
So what happens is that we don't just know what words were said, but we know exactly when a word was said.
Wow.
So if you type a search for a particular word, we can actually jump to the millisecond in time that word was uttered.
Now, some of the content providers that I saw, when I click on a link, it goes to like a pop-up, like from the BBC or from the NBC folks, that actually looks like it's popping up from their website.
Yeah.
Is that a pop-up that's been specifically made available to you guys to only use, or is that the same pop-up that you would see off of their own website?
That's the same pop-up you'd see on their own website.
Okay.
So that kind of system is very similar, again, to web search. So just like if you did a search for a web page and you saw a bunch of results, when you clicked on one of those results, it would take you back to that particular person's website, wherever it might be. So in exactly the same way, when you click on a result on Blinks.tv search results, you basically get directed back to that website, which has that content. And then you see it in the context of that web page, and you have to watch it with that player and those ads and so on.
So how do you guys actually link to a specific section of that video when it's coming off of some other server? Is there some linking that happens between you guys, you know, between the content provider and you guys, that's kind of unique in that way, that it actually could jump ahead you know, in the content itself?
No, it's interesting, but it turns out that with those video stream files, what you can actually do is pass parameters which say, you know, play this file, or, you know, follow this address and play this file, but please start the file, you know, 25 seconds
or
30 minutes into the clip.
So they obviously need to be using a Windows Media or a Real Server or something like that in order to facilitate that kind of connection.
Yeah, exactly. So it's different for the different technologies, but as you know, there are only a handful of those technologies anyway. So it's actually pretty easy to do. Now, what we always do when we talk to the people who, particularly the large networks and so on, that we have content from, we always check with them that they don't mind us doing that, because sometimes they want people to watch the clip from the beginning. So you'll notice that, for example, if you were to click on a Fox News clip, what they do is they actually want you to watch the whole clip, because they actually play an ad for you first and so on.
Okay.
So in some cases, you know, the content owner will sort of demand that kind of control. But if not, then we can jump straight into the point that matters.
So do you see this being a big area as IPTV grows and becomes what I think a lot of people think it's going to become, as the distribution point for video?
Yeah, I think it will. I think that much like our conceptual toolbar, I don't think it'll replace what already exists. So I think people will still use keyword search. It's just that they might use things like the toolbar as well to help in certain areas. And in exactly the same way, I think all of us, you know, sometimes have days at work when all we need to be able to do is go home and flick the TV on and basically dissolve in front of it and watch whatever comes up. But at the same time, there's also a lot of interest in being able to watch, you know, what you want when you want.
Exactly.
And that's, I think, where this kind of stuff is just going to really, really take off.
Plus, I also noticed that you guys are supporting kind of subscription services too. So there's a monetization piece that you guys are supporting with some of these content providers as well, right?
Yeah, it's just the same as, again, if you use Google or Yahoo News, you'll be used to this kind of thing where it'll alert you to the fact that a particular website has a story, like maybe the Wall Street Journal or whatever. But then if you actually want to go and read that news story, you have to be a subscriber to the Wall Street Journal, or you have to have paid the Wall Street Journal for the right to do that. And in exactly the same way, some of the TV content on the web, like the CNN content, for example, is all based on subscription. You need to be a CNN subscriber to actually watch it. So in exactly the same way, we can tell you that it's out there and that it exists and that it's relevant to what you searched for, but if you want to watch it, then you have to be a subscriber.
More conversation with Blinks.com in just a moment. Hang in there. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
And now, the Internet's future.
Web Talk Radio is back on the air, and our website is at webtalkradio.com. And I'm Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee's here with us, too. And we're going to continue a cool conversation, aren't we? With Blinks.com co-founder and CTO, Saranga Chandrasilika, and he's going to continue his story about his fast-growing video and audio search engine that does more than just search audio and video. Yeah, I can see that working perfectly with an IPTV type of environment, too. You basically can subscribe to it, and there could be some monetary compensation that comes from that. I know a lot of these content providers would love to monetize, you know, especially the BBC folks, I think, would love to monetize some of their content, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the BBC are a very good example of that because they, in the UK itself, they have to, they basically have to offer a lot of their content for free, but externally, globally, they can actually sell a lot of it. So
Yeah. They're
very interested about how to do that efficiently. And of course, today they have people running around the world trying to do it. It'd be much easier if they could just put it all on a server and let people pay for it and find it themselves.
Yeah, it's fascinating what you guys are doing with this whole video area. I think you guys are moving into the direction that I think it's ultimately going, and it's great to see you guys come out with this. Why don't you tell us about your smart folders technology that you have? I haven't been really clear on how that function works. Could you kind of explain what the vision of that is?
Sure. We released Smart Folders back in November with the version 2.0 of the toolbar,
But
it's actually also been integrated into Blinks TV as well, so you'll see it on that site if you go there.
Okay.
Basically, what a Smart Folder is it's a regular folder on your computer, just like any other folder or directory on your desktop or in your email or whatever. The difference is that it's smart, and what that means is that it knows what kind of content you normally put in that folder, and then automatically what it does when you're doing other stuff is it goes out and finds other information that's related to that topic and puts links to that new content in that same folder. So let's say you were to create a folder on Napa Valley and put in maybe a couple of emails in there and save a web page in there, then what the smart folders would do is automatically go out and check out the rest of the web and see if there's any other content that was related to Napa Valley, and if there was, put that in there. Now, it can either download that content into the folder or it can just provide links. So when you click on them, it opens up that web page. And also, it's dynamic, so it keeps doing that over time. So, you know, even local content. So let's say in a week after you created the folder, you got an email from a friend saying that she was thinking of going to Napa Valley, then that email, wherever you put it on your own computer, would automatically be linked to in that smart folder. So you'd be able to go to that smart folder and see everything that you have on your computer and on the web that's related to whatever that topic is.
So when you say it downloads something, what exactly is it downloading? Is it downloading almost like a shortcut link, or is it downloading a physical file of some sort?
By default, it's just a shortcut link, but you can actually set it to download the file as well. So you can actually have it download a web page or download a video clip, for example, that's related to whatever your subject is. And that way you can watch that offline or read that offline.
Okay, is that video clip a link that goes to a particular clip, or is it the actual media file itself?
It depends. So some of the content providers will only provide streaming, so in that case it'll be a link. In some cases, they actually allow you to have downloads, so you'll actually see a downloaded file in there as well.
Okay. So is that kind of potentially where the whole BitTorrent client comes into play, is the delivery of these type of media files? Is that what the longer or bigger vision is?
I don't think directly. I mean, I think what we'll see is that IPTV will be a more natural distribution for that kind of video content.
Sure.
So today, for example, the smart folders aren't hooked in with the peer-to-peer because, you know, if you're in the business of, or if you're interested in sharing and sort of copying files off peer-to-peer networks, then you need to have a separate client to do that. But certainly for keeping up to date on things, that's where smart folders will really play an interesting role. So, you know, you could have done a search a week ago on the elections in Iraq, and you would have seen the latest TV clips that were related to that. But then you could have also just created a smart folder on that, and then every day after that, you'd have links to the latest CNN or the latest BBC news content about what was happening and the build-up to the elections themselves, and, of course, now the aftermath of the elections.
Oh, interesting. Well, now, why don't you tell us a little bit more about some of the other areas that you're actually searching for out there? It looks like you guys are looking for, like, PowerPoint files. You're looking for MP3s, even blogs out there. Is there any special technologies that you guys are rolling out to cover those areas?
Yeah, we're using a number of different types of technology for that. We have a lot of very sort of intelligent format indexing technology, which basically sits on your computer. So if you have the desktop search toolbar installed, it'll automatically understand over 250 formats. So everything from MP3s to PowerPoints and emails and so on. And not just emails, but also attachments to emails. And not just attachments to emails, but attachments inside attachments to emails and so on. But then also some of the cleverest stuff we're doing is based on the audio and video. So our video transcription doesn't just use voice recognition to figure out what words were said or what noises were made in an audio stream, but it also uses a contextual engine to figure out what the context of those words was to get a more accurate idea of what words were actually said. So it's such an interesting area. It turns out that even human beings are pretty bad at figuring out what noises meant which words. The reason that we generally understand each other is because we know what context those words are said in, and we therefore do a really good job of figuring out what it was that somebody just said to us. Yeah. The textbook example of this is the phrase recognize speech, which means recognize speech in this context. But if I was talking about oil slicks and environmental disaster, and I said recognize beach, then it would be a completely different thing.
That's true.
What makes us good at figuring out which one was which is because we knew what the context was, even though recognize beach and recognize speech sound so similar in audio sense. So we actually do exactly the same thing. So the reason we are better at voice recognition than really everybody else is that we don't just do the physics of figuring out what noises were made, but we use context to figure out what the context of those noises was. And that actually lets us do better recognition and therefore lets us do things like Blinks.tv.
So now, why don't you kind of share with us how you guys came up with all this very cool technology that you guys have developed? Is there some sort of research lab behind you guys that actually has created some of these?
we do a combination of things. We've actually licensed some of our technology from a company called Autonomy that are experts in kind of knowledge management, although they've always traditionally focused on kind of enterprise or corporate software, whereas obviously we're trying to do it for the average user. And then we've also spent a lot of our own R&D time and effort on this as well. So we've actually come up with a number of interesting innovations, some of which depend on the Autonomy stuff, some of which is completely new. And it's really piecing all those things together that lets you do some very interesting, very new things. And once you get technology which can do that, then it's just a matter of figuring out what problem it is out there that needs to be solved by it.
Yeah, certainly you're solving a lot of problems with what you guys are doing, that's for sure. Well, now, what's the next big thing for you guys? What's the next thing on the horizon here? I know that there's a big trend going on right now with podcasting, with audio. Are you guys seeing a real strong effort coming on your part to actually support kind of more audio in this application, or...?
Yeah, I think things like podcasting, things like Moblogs, which are, you know, the movie version of blogs, all that kind of stuff is going to be really taking off soon. So it's really the combination of the fact that, again, a lot of people suddenly have broadband access. A lot of us now have devices like phones and cameras that can capture audio and video content very easily. And with the internet, we have the ability to basically share it and transmit it with anyone we want to. So, again, it becomes a big search problem. You know, if you think about the internet, when it first came along, it was really cool. There's lots of great stuff out there, and we all used it. But then it then started to have too much stuff, and you just couldn't find the right thing at the right time. What really fixed that was good internet search, which is why, you know, a whole bunch of companies grew up around making the ability to search through text or words, you know, important. Now, the next step is, you know, all this rich media. How do we actually search in the same coherent, successful way across audio and video? And that's exactly what Blinks is aimed at. I mean, Blinks.tv does exactly that, and we're going to keep pushing on that.
So are you guys actively looking for content providers to kind of plug in with in this program, especially on the video side, or are you guys looking for content providers on the audio side as well?
Oh, on both, on both. You'll notice on the site already that we have not just the TV guys, but also we have NPR, we have Voice of America, and we have BBC Radio too. So yeah, there's a lot of great radio content out there that we're very excited about. In fact, every radio show I've been on, I've certainly tried to sort of organize some kind of deal afterwards to sort of be able to index that content.
We would love to have our 6 years of content available off your site. That'd be terrific.
Great, we'll definitely do that.
Well, thank you, Saranga. We appreciate you spending so much time with us explaining all this stuff. You guys are doing some really cool stuff.
No, thank you for having me. It's been great talking to you.
You've been listening to a conversation with the CTO and co-founder of Blinks, Blinks.com and Blinks.tv, and that's Saranga Chandra Silica. Well, that's about all the time we have this week. Thanks so much for joining us. We're glad that you could be here.
We certainly appreciate you tuning in and listening to the show this week, and we hope to have you back with us next week as we'll have another exciting Web Talk radio show for you. So go check out our archives if you want to hear a past show at webtalkradio.com, and you can also check out some of our articles that are available up there as we try and cover the latest and greatest on what's happening on the web. We'll see you around the net.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.